Are you frustrated with the limited scope of the mainstream news media? Want to hear more about what's really happening elsewhere in the world? Then you'll want to listen to Wider View Radio. We'll bring you interviews with analysts and activists and the background you need to understand today's international issues. Tune into Wider View here on 97.3 KEPW Community Radio Tuesday at 4 p.m. and subscribe to the podcast at widerviewradio.podbean.com.
This is Talk is Cheap here on KEPW LP 97.3 FM, Eugene, Oregon, Peaceworks Independent Community Radio, also streaming online at KEPW.org. All right, today, a couple weeks ago, I went out to the Eugene Makerspace, and this is kind of a sustainability, it fits in with sustainability because you want to reuse tools and reuse things, and the Makerspace is a place where you can do that. And if you want to invent something to save the world, you might be able to do it at the Makerspace. There's a whole network of them all over the world. We've got one here in Eugene at 687 McKinley Street, Suite 1. It's now it's right on the on McKinley, in between, obviously in between 6 and 7, but it's in a little industrial apartment thing where they got a bunch of little garages. And they're the main ones with the window facing the street. And they got a lot of wacky stuff goes on there at the Eugene Makerspace. 67 McKinley Street, number one, Eugene, Oregon. All right, so that's coming up here. A little tour and a little spiel on why it's important to have makerspaces here on Talk is Cheap on KEPW LP 97.3 FM, Eugene, Oregon. Peaceworks Independent Community Radio, also at KEPW.org. Please support independent media in all its forms, where you might find the truth. Thanks for listening. Tell your friends. Coming up, Eugene Makerspace. Bottled air manufactured in a plant powered by the very charcoal it's filtered through. Each bottle comes with a free trach tube ribbed and lubricated for pleasurable insertion. Pick up some BJ's bottled air today while you still can. Brought to you by Silt River Tree Museum and Casino. Built on the site where an actual ancient rainforest once stood, see a full-scale replica of a Douglas fir tree. See pictures of trees larger in diameter than a man is tall. Trout and salmon that once choked the rivers of the Northwest will sing to you in our chamber of taxidermy. Hear the disaffected sounds of Feller Buncher and his bunch of fellers, an all-ex-logger band, in our simulated wood amphitheater. Take the Oregon Desert Highway to the clear-cut road exit, turn right at the stump in the road, and you're at Silt River Tree Museum and Casino. Free parking, kids a buck and a half, closed during summer months due to melting asphalt, giant locusts, and methyl ethyl hydroxy colchicine slag emissions. Brought to you by Gluteus Maximus Excon Cranium. Do you still think women and people of color are inferior? Do you think corporations care about people and the environment? Do you think George Bush doesn't know the lyrics to the Horse Vessel song? You may be suffering from terminal ignorance. Made from 100% Amanita mushrooms, Gluteus Maximus Excon Cranium actually removes the brain plaque associated with terminal ignorance. Pick up some today before it's too late. Side effects are compassion, forgiveness, and hysterical laughter. What's your name again?
Karen.
Karen with the Eugene Makerspace.
Yes.
And you're going to give me a tour?
Yes, I am going to give you a tour. So let's begin.
Okay.
When I usually describe this place, I describe it as a cooperative tool sharing space. We're not so much a school where you learn how to do things from like instructors and things like that. We're just a space where you can make things, and we have a lot of tools on hand. A lot of our tools are donated or loaned to us, and we have a lot of what I call dad tools. It always reminds me of my father's garage. Lots of drills and, saber saws and sanders and things like that. We have a very well-stocked woodworking area where we have a table saw, a band saw, a miter saw, a disc and belt sander. We also have a wood lathe. It's been very popular here, and a number of tools for it. And the usual collection of wrenches and screwdrivers and things of that nature. We have lots of scrap wood, which we obviously, well, we're not like handing it out for firewood or anything, but if people want to come down and work on something or make something and they don't really have any materials, we usually have a little bit that they can work with here. Let's see, over here is our metalworking area, and we have a number of members who are very interested in blacksmithing, and one of our members, his name is Todd, this is his forge here, and he actually made all of these blacksmithing tools in the shop here with that forge.
Wow.
Except for the hammer, so he buys those, but yeah, all the, bending and clamps and things like that. He made those. He, in fact, made that small anvil over there with the hammer on it.
And what size would you say that is?
Oh, I don't know. Let's see.
Whatever. It's only it's not more than a foot square. Yes. Much more than a foot square.
Yeah. But it's you can put metal through it. So rod work. He's been doing some wrought iron work. Uh-huh. And stuff like that. But mostly he spends a lot of his time making tools.
Just enough to heat up a piece of metal.
Get it, bright orange, and then come over
so
here.
So it's malleable, yeah.
Hit it on there. And we've also had another member who was interested in making swords or knives or something like that. And
neat.
Yeah, stuff like that. We also have your standard drill presses here, and this is a manual milling machine, which is kind of a metal lathe. The kind of tool that my grandfather would have used, actually, for machining stuff for, like, aircraft parts or, uh-huh. Not electronics, but, like, generators and stuff like that. So, like, it has all these cranks that are very precise in there. They've got, like, little lines of gradation to, get it into the millimeters.
How big of a part do you think you could do on that?
Oh, probably don't know, at least a foot, a little longer. It's a pretty beefy tool, but it's really best used as a lathe. And it does have this this cutting tool on top here, and that can be used to cut slots and things like gears or cogs, that kind of stuff. And so, but this is a very this is a tool of expertise. You know, you practice on it.
Well, and I just now they use CAD/CAM machines, right? So, is there anything it does that the CAD/CAM can't do?
No, not really. this is before computers.
Right. So
this tool is, in its way, an antique, and but it is still very usable, especially for people who want to make things by hand, you know, and still get a high quality, high polish kind of build out of it. It's the kind of tool that you use kind of by feel, you know, by touch.
And you don't need any digital, anything digital. It's all analog.
It's all analog on this particular tool. Mm-hmm. Now over here is our vacuum former. This was actually built by our members, and this is the kind of tool you use to make Halloween masks or the Star Wars fans are always making like stormtrooper armor.
Neat.
You know, the sort of concave shapes of plastic. And this is basically just sort of a vacuum, sort of like an inverted air hockey table. And
right, and you would have a mold and heated plastic that it pushes into a mold.
Yeah, you sort of lift this up here, and it pulls the plastic up to these toaster coils. And heats up the plastic nice and soft, and then you pull it down. And
this
pump pulls the air out of these tanks, and sort of shrink wraps the plastic right around your model.
Around a model, okay, so yeah.
It's called a buck, actually, the wooden model, or usually wood. You
know? All right, I was visualizing the other way around, that it was a negative, but it's a physical.
It can be a negative.
Right,
if you have holes.
Concave or convex.
And in fact, here's some examples these are just scraps from some projects that some of our members were doing, where they were pulling. Let's see, I think this was done.
And so there's excess that you cut away.
Yeah, I think this was done like in this corner here, and so there was a thing here.
Mm-hmm.
You can kind of see how that works then.
Neat.
But it's used very heavily in costuming and stuff like that, but it's also used to make. Every time you see like in a store a blister pack where it's like a plastic bubble on a piece of cardboard, like for an action figure or a set of razors or something, that's all done with a vacuum former, essentially.
Right, on a conveyor belt, probably. They do it in mass.
Oh, yeah, in mass, yeah. So over here is our CNC alley, and we're kind of in a bit of a transition period. I mean, warts and all about this place, you know. This is a good point to talk about the fact that a lot of our tools are loaned to us or given to us. And we kind of have when people give us a tool, it's usually something they've been having trouble with. So we kind of rely on the knowledge and capabilities of our members. And so getting those tools up and running is kind of a constant battle for us. So the more complicated the tool, the more complicated the repair job. Currently, we are working on we have three laser cutters here, and we are currently about to breathe life into one of them again. And it is actually, I can say this with confidence, it's definitely going to happen, hopefully in the next few weeks.
Neat.
And we've gotten the axis, the gantry part of it working, and the electronics are working. And we're doing some 3D printing to add some parts to it and stuff like that. And then we're going to refurbish the second one and get that one working again, and then we'll have at least two working. That's our hope.
And what material will that work with?
Cardboard, plastic, thin wood, like this veneer stuff here. Kind of like paneling. I guess this is what we used to call it in the 70s and 80s, you know, paneling. But you can use it to, if you're patient, you can go through something a little thicker than this, but...
Not metal, but
acrylic sheet and stuff like that.
Uh-huh.
One thing you can do with a laser cutter that's very interesting is, even though you can't use it to cut metal, because it's just it's reflective. It's going to shoot right back off of there.
Oh, I see.
You can spray paint the metal, then run it through a laser cutter, and it will etch into the paint. It'll burn the paint away in the shape of your diagram or your plan for this.
Oh, neat.
And then you can take that tool that already has like a baked on, you know, drawing in reverse, and then you can go, you know, machine it with by hand or with, you know, hacksaws.
That's pretty handy, yeah.
So it's a great way to transfer graphics onto metal.
Uh-huh.
An area called Pick Apart, and just like the name implies, it's like a little junkyard full of treasure. You can go up there and find some old computers or an old radio or someone's project that they abandoned. And there's a bunch of like stuff to go tinker with. And if you like, I don't know what I want to work on. You know, I just sort of stuck for ideas, want to do something. You can climb up there and take a look around, and maybe you'll find something really awesome to turn into something. This is our chemical cabinet where we keep, as my friend Ben says, this is where we keep all our half-used cans of spray paint. Whenever someone's working on a project and they've got stuff left over at the end, they end up leaving it here, and we put it in here. So we've got, you know, a collection of solvents and spray paints and various forms of adhesives. Unfortunately, what I tell people is that if you're planning a project out at home, you know, you're thinking about what you want to do, make sure to plan to get the materials you're going to need. So if you're going to need spray paint or primer or, you know, paint thinner or stuff like that, make sure to get that during the planning phase. But if you're here at the shop and you're working on something just spur of the moment, or, oh no, I need primer on this before I can do something, come on over here and check out the cabinet, because we might have something. Mm-hmm. Not necessarily the color you want. We got some hot pink in there. Very interesting. But
to save you from having to stop what you're doing and go get just a can of paint or something or solvent.
Over here in this little room here, this is, in Dr. Evil air quotes, our clean room. Four 3D printers.
Oh, wow.
But we have one that is working right now. And this is the big one here. We just installed this heated bed on here. This is a Trinity 1 3D printer. And again, like I said about the laser cutters, we kind of inherit other people's problems when they give us something, you know, it's like, well, here we go. So, for example, these two wooden ones here, they look like they were Kickstarter, you know, early access models that were, you know, made out of laser cut wood. And being made out of wood, being made out of 3D printed parts, you know, they're old, and so those parts are wearing out, and you know, it takes work to keep these machines working. And
so what medium does that use?
This uses plastic. It's various forms of plastic. This is a 3 millimeter sort of a, it's like a long strand of spaghetti, except it's made out of plastic. And in this case, this is PLA. I don't know what PLA stands for, but I'm sure other people can look that up.
Polylactyl something or other.
Yes.
It's biodegradable. It's made out of milk.
Yeah.
I was going to say, if it's lacto-based.
Yeah, so this is the one that, if I remember correctly, gets brittle in direct sunlight. So the more it's subjected to sunlight, the more brittle it becomes. So it's good for... But it's also very rigid. It's the most rigid of the common plastics.
But at least it breaks down.
It does.
We want it to break down, maybe.
Now over here, this is the stuff they make Lego out of, which of course, it means that it lasts 3,000 years, and if you step on it, you basically die.
Or in severe pain, at least.
Yeah, but this is also a rigid plastic. It's a little more forgiving. It tends to bend before it breaks, which is better for some projects. I say better, but I mean, it really depends on what you're making. Uh-huh. If you want it to be rigid and have it snap instead of bend. But this is also the room where we keep our vinyl cutter. And the nice thing about a vinyl cutter, this is let's describe it as it's grandma's scrapbooking tool. They sell these at Michael's. They're about, I guess, $300. And it's basically a inkjet printer, but instead of an ink cartridge, it has a razor blade.
Huh.
So it can go around a piece of paper and cut out shapes. It can also go around a piece of this peel-off vinyl plastic, which is, you know, a sticker on one side and plastic on the other. And over here we have a ham radio set up. A number of our members have ham radio licenses. And unfortunately, or fortunately, you need a license in order to use a ham radio.
Right.
But if people are interested in learning how ham radios work and what goes on ham radio frequencies, they get in touch with some of our members and, you know, who do have a license, and maybe sit in with them and
learn to get a license.
Yeah. We actually, there's a guy in town who does a license class, I think, once or twice a year.
Mm-hmm.
And
right, because you don't teach people, but I mean, someone could practice at least.
I say we're not an educational institution per se, but our members are often more than willing to share their knowledge.
Mm-hmm.
And I honestly, I don't think there's any case where a member would be like, oh no, I'm not going to tell you how to do that. We have our electronics workstation, where we have soldering irons and solder and flux and all
sort of good stuff.
All the testers.
Like an oscilloscope?
Yeah, there's an oscilloscope over there, and there's a, what is that, logic analyzer and a bench power supply and a signal generator. We've got those multi-testers that, you know, with the two wires and all kinds of capacitors and resistors, and so we need to repair something. They often come down here and try to do that. And think about how our organization works. We are open to the public two nights a week from 6 p.m. to 9 p.m. If no one's here by 8, they'll probably leave because, you know, who wants to sit around for the last hour, you know. At 8:50, we're closing at 9 anyway.
So, uh-huh.
But the way the buses run, sometimes people are like, I'm just going to blaze out of here. But if you can get here by 8, we'll stay open till 9 for sure. Sometimes later, depending on, you know, who's here. But that's the time we're open to the public. The rest of the time, we are open to our members. And membership costs $35 a month. And when you pay that, you get a key that unlocks the door. And you can come in here anytime from 7 in the morning until 1 a.m. at night, 7 days a week, holidays included.
Wow.
And you also get a space on the shelf here to store a small amount of material or parts or tools, if you have tools that you don't want other people to be using. And that's why I mention it at this point in the tour, because we're right here by the member storage shelves. So, but yeah, basically, beyond that, we have this big CNC table here, which is a, it can handle a half sheet of plywood, so that's 4 feet by 4 feet. A high speed, high power spindle router. It's essentially a router. I don't really know the difference between a router and spindle, to be honest. It spins really fast, that's what I know. And this table, this sort of big gantry-looking thing here, can move back and forth and side to side, and then this router thing can move up and down, and it can carve into wood or plastic or Delrin. It could cut into metal if you were using the correct bit.
Mm-hmm.
And we're going at the right speeds. This spindle can turn 400 times per second. So it's very fast. We use a piece of software called Easel. It's on the inventables.com website. And it's, you go on their website, you sign up for free account. And it's like a web-based drawing program. You just draw what you want to do. It's real simple. You just save it to your account. Then you come down here, you open that, you log back into your account here on the computer here, and your file's just waiting for you to run it on the machine. Now, there's like a 20-minute orientation on how to actually specifically operate this machine.
Just for a little safety, yeah.
Yeah, there are some safety concerns, and sort of a, what do you call it, open source software to run the table itself, and how deep to cut it, that kind of stuff. And you create a 3D model that it then tells the machine how to move, and it just carves. We're not so much an educational institution as we are a space where we enable people to do things. Now, that said, we do have a community of various people in our local area and some people out of town who used to live here who have expertises and interests in various areas. So, for example, in terms of 3D printing, if you had questions about 3D printing, I might point you at certain members. If you had questions about this table here, for example, I'd probably point you at me because I have the most hours on this table compared to anyone else at the shop. But, for example, with the vacuum former, for example, I've never used it. But there are people at the shop who have recently used that machine, as you saw the scraps over there. So I would point you at them for in the live chat. We have an internet chat room thing. It's on Slack. And you can reach out to the membership and sort of send a message out, and then we pool our resources and try to figure out who to send you to best. I have always been an advocate of the idea of offering pizza. Because you say to someone, hey, I've got this project and I really need some help, and I hear that you're really, really an expert. I'll buy pizza, bring some soda or whatever. You want to meet me down at the shop on a certain day? What day is good for you? And that's a real good motivator. You offer beer and pizza, or soda and pizza or something, and people are going to be like, oh yeah, I'll be there.
So beer and pizza is the chosen currency for makerspace.
You can also offer them some money. You can also offer them trade. Some people will do it out of the goodness of their heart, and I think most people will do it out of the good.
Well, so do you mind if I ask, how did you get started with all this, though? Was there a grant?
There's a sort of a fictitious story I always tell about how a makerspace might have been formed, and I sort of say, just imagine there's an apartment complex and a bunch of dads are sitting around the fire pit, and one night, drinking their light beers, complaining about how expensive their storage lockers are. Because they used to live in a house where they had a garage and they had room for their tools, and now they live in an apartment complex and they don't have room for that stuff. And suddenly they get the bright idea, why don't we go in together and rent out a shop space?
Right.
And we could have all of our tools there, and we could all use them.
And not just in storage either, they're operable.
Yeah,
and then you can get at them anytime.
And I feel like that's probably very accurate to how this place got started.
Uh-huh.
Because it is, like I say, a lot of our tools are on loan. Some of them have just been gifted to us by people who either were tired of trying to fix it or were moving out of the area and wanted to give it to us. Sometimes people just bring us stuff. Because they're like, oh, you can use this. And we have gotten some really cool hand tools that way. Some of our power drills came from there. And one of my favorites, actually, was just a random donation that just showed up one day. It's like, here you go. And that's where our computer parts came from. One of our members secured a deal with his employer. They were 86ing a bunch of old computers that weren't working, and we took those parts and put together some computers, and that's how most of our computers in the shop came to be.
Oh, they were workable parts that you could actually put
them around and
put
together working computers. So, for example, I always talk about the amenities here at the end of the tour. We have two bathrooms, the water is drinkable, but we also have computers here around the classroom area here. We've got two Macintosh computers and a Windows machine. We've got a Linux Mint Cinnamon computer over here. Microfridge, microwave, popcorn popper, hot water pot, coffee pot. We usually keep coffee. It's just whatever coffee someone's willing to pick up at the store. Same with cocoa.
Once you get going on a project, you don't want to stop. It's nice to have some stuff around.
We're also really, really conveniently located to a Wendy's. In fact, the only Wendy's in the area.
That's right.
But we're also conveniently located to Harbor Freight and Home Depot and Lowe's and several thrift stores and Goodwill on Seneca. And just down the street and around the corner, there is the Habitat for Humanity Restore.
Yeah.
There's also Next Step, which is computer parts over there. And our system is all set up now, finally. We're so happy about this. all set up so as soon as you start paying, your key just automatically turns on. And when you deactivate it, the next month rolls around, and if it doesn't debit again, we deactivate your key. It's just all automatic.
Neat.
So, and it's because we use these, the sort of radio frequency Cameron is taking. But Patreon does this monthly billing thing right at the first of the month, and it's a couple clicks of a button to get the money into our bank account. It's not... When we were doing it before, it was, some person put cash in the box, some person put a check in there, someone mailed us something. And so we had to come down to the shop maybe 5-6 times a month to get into the box, to get in the mailbox and stuff, and gather it up. And we're making multiple trips to the bank to do that. And it's like, we're volunteers.
Right.
We don't have time for that.
No, and especially making key there and doing turning on and off RFID, would be a pain in the ass.
So, exactly, and it's like, did they pay this month? I don't know, I don't remember.
Right.
Somebody paid like that.
Are you, you're not a non-profit, but...
We are.
We
are a 501c3 non-profit something organization, so all donations to us are tax deductible. That includes donations in material, or donations in money.
Oh, yeah. Well, so if someone wanted to donate to you and not even use the place,
yeah,
you can do that.
The beautiful thing is that Patreon makes that easy.
Mm-hmm.
People can certainly make a one-time donation. They could send us a check. They could come down to the shop and drop some money in a box. I mean, we can give them a receipt if they want one.
And a receipt for materials.
Yeah, exactly.
Too, yeah.
If people want to, bring us, spray paint or glue or whatever, whatever is useful to us. Obviously, we have to reserve the right to turn something away. We can't accept broken tools. We can't accept, at this point, really old computers unless they're eminently collectible. So, for example, being like 1980s Atari or Commodore computers, Apple IIe's, that kind of stuff, we don't want old Pentium computers.
Right.
We just don't have a use for them, unfortunately. But that said, we can accept donations. We have the standard, Goodwill style receipt system where we just hand you a piece of paper. You write down what you donated. You write down how much it was worth, and then you submit it with your taxes.
Mm-hmm.
And there you go. And we're happy to accept stuff. We just can't accept broken, seriously broken stuff because we don't need it.
Well, so what about age and... if you don't want to answer about insurance and safety, what do you do about... you must not want people under 18 in here.
So the way we work that is that people of all ages are welcome here, but minors or people under the age of 18 must be accompanied by an adult, and they must be supervised by that adult. So it's not just good enough to just be here and go work on your own project. You got to keep an eye on them. We do have a system. So basically, sort of transition, during our open hack nights, that's the open house time, like we're doing right now. If someone came in with a minor or a child or whatever, that'd be fine, no problem, as long as they're monitoring what's going on. If they're a member, the memberships are limited to 18 and older, but minors are always welcome. So if a member brings them in, all we ask is that they have a minor waiver on file. It's just a parental permission slip, basically. And the same policy extends to adult guests. If you, if a member brings some guests with them, we just want waivers on file for insurance purposes. And then once that's done, we don't have any restrictions on them using tools or anything like that. Because it's on you.
Yeah. Neat.
You get hurt, yeah, sorry. But that is the nature of making.
Well, yeah.
People get hurt. You skin your knuckles. That's what it's about.
And, you can't be responsible for that. Okay.
But this is how you learn, is by, getting your hands dirty. This is what this place is for, making some sawdust, making some, what do they call it, man glitter?
I haven't heard that term, but okay, yeah.
It's a little sexist, but whatever.
Yeah.
It is.
Well, there's a whole network of makerspaces online, too.
There's a whole nationwide, worldwide movement of people reducing, reusing, and recycling and learning to make and remake things.
Right, and this is so that we don't waste stuff, too. It helps not waste stuff. And you want to have, and you also want to have this knowledge so that you're not reliant yeah. on someone else all the time for...
For example, I mean, talking about waste, right? All this wood scrap is stuff that people cut off of other projects. And so we've got all these little scraps of wood because someday, one of these days, someone's going to have a use for this. And periodically we, you know, chop it up and turn it into firewood, and then someone takes it home and burns it or whatever, or we donate it to the next nonprofit, you know, or...
But I mean, people want to be self-sufficient too. If there ever is an apocalypse or whatever you call it, whatever you want to call it, it'd be nice to know how to fix stuff and repair stuff.
Well, you don't need the apocalypse for that,
right?
You know, I mean, to be very honest, you can get by with duct tape and zip ties. You can do amazing things with just duct tape and zip ties. But you know, learning to improvise is the biggest skill you can learn, beyond learning to be an electronics engineer, learning to be a craftsman or an artist, just learning to patch something back together.
Well, and repurposing.
Yeah.
And I don't know if you're familiar with bricolage too, is what Mecca does, yeah. And what you're describing with your room O
parts. Oh yeah, the part area. Yeah.
Is bricolage? You can make art out of all kinds of stuff. Yeah.
And another example is those arcade cabinets over there. Those computer monitors in the arcade cabinets were donations to the shop. And so we just sort of...
That were just basically useless, and now you've turned them into a video game.
I mean, they were literally gathering dust.
Uh-huh.
I mean, everything in here is gathering dust because we have sawdust here. But the arcade games, you know, I mean, it's a $20 kit for the controls and the monitor, and then... There's an old set of computer speakers sort of crammed in there, and then a Raspberry Pi. And I mean, that's... So you take something new, something old, put it together, you make something new out of the whole thing.
Mm-hmm.
And for example, that CNC project that I'm talking about making, I've actually salvaged most of the electronic parts from things around here, which I found up in Pickup Art or in a pile of stuff that no one was going to repair. And so I'm like, oh, hey, here's some stepper motors. Okay, here's some bearings, you know, and I put together a collection. And
instead of it ending up in our water supply and the mercury from it, yeah.
Yeah, or, you know, in someone else's pickup.
Or end up in the third world where they take it apart for the metals.
Exactly. And then, you know, pollute their own water or send it back here and then pollute our water. You know,
and send it on a ship on a...
And then sink the ship when no one's looking.
I just mean, you know, I mean, there's more to it than just, there's a whole level, there's several levels
exactly.
of what this place does.
And it's not really the place that does it, that's the thing. It's the members who do it,
uh-huh.
You know. And so we've had members who come in here and make art out of literal litter. We've had people who come in here and are working with brand new materials to build something fancy and new. We've had people come in, and we had one guy who came in here, really interesting project. He got a bunch of scrap metal that he found, like, on the side of the road, and welded it together into a bike trailer. And, I mean, it was amazing, the build that he did. He was trying to build, like, a little, a tiny home.
Yeah.
So, like a little camper he could pull on a bicycle.
Uh-huh.
And, very interesting project, and it was surprising because he was using, trash. I mean, it was, you know, like a piece of metal that you find at the side of the road, and here's some other thing, and here's a pipe, and he dragged it all down here, and we gave him stern looks for a while, and then he actually did it, and we were suitably impressed. But, you know, we got all kinds of people here, and that is...
Well, and so you don't want to leave projects unfinished laying around, though.
Yeah, so... Members get leeway with that to a degree. People who come here for our open house nights, we ask that they take their projects home with them. But our members can have some time when they're working on a big project. There's an example over here in the CNC area, I'll take you over and show you. where this one person, but he has been building a recumbent bicycle with an electric assist on the back wheel, and his goal is to have it be enclosed with like coroplast plastic, the kind of stuff they use for those political signs, vote for so-and-so. And so he wants to build like a little covered cab for it, and his goal is to be able to drive around like in Portland in the rain, because I guess it rains there even more than it rains down here. He wants to be able to do touring, and I think this is supposed to be a two-seater at some point.
He bought the electric assist, though. He didn't make that himself.
Yeah. But he also bought all this aluminum pipe that he's just been bolting together. But as you can see here, he's just sort of cut the gear set off of a regular bike and just sort of bolted it on here. See? But we have a lot of tools here that are just sort of esoteric, you know? Things we don't even think about. For example, these kilns here, these big blue boxes, these are glass fusing kilns. We have a whole glass fusing setup that I think one person has used. Just waiting for someone with a glass fusing hobby to be like, I want to go to the makerspace and do glass fusing.
Well, is that making pipes?
No, it's an art form where basically you take pieces of glass and melt them together.
Oh, I know what you mean. Into pieces of art.
Pieces of art.
But they can be three-dimensional, can't they? They don't have to be flat.
I believe so.
Yeah.
The one I saw was three-dimensional, but I also believe that the... if you've ever had those things with little plastic beads, there's like a little frame, and you put the plastic beads in there, and then you put it in the oven, and the plastic beads melt down, and they create like a little sun catcher thing you hang in the...
Okay.
Something. I believe that glass fusing can also be that in glass.
Mm-hmm.
And we do have some of the powdered glass for that process. But...
I wonder if you could make your own stained glass pieces that you would make into a stained glass...
Or into fused glass.
Fused glass window, you mean?
Yeah.
Maybe a window panes possibly. Out of fused glass, yeah.
I don't know. I don't know enough about the hobby to say for sure.
Mm-hmm.
I just know that we have the tools for it.
You know? But yeah, your point was that there's things you might not see.
Yeah, they just might be squirreled away somewhere. I mean, those kilns are always something I just never think of because they're tucked away down there. But there's like a rock tumbler over here. One of our members, Beata, has done some very interesting projects.
Well, but I wonder if it was used for one thing in the past, and now it could be used for something different in the future.
Exactly.
Or now. That,
the kiln,
in
for example.
In combination with something else.
The kiln, for example, can be used to do kiln stuff as well.
You can do clay.
I believe so.
Uh-huh.
I say that like I'm an expert. I assume it might be able to be used that way. Yeah, I don't know. There's a toaster oven there. That toaster oven has been modified to be a reflow oven for electronics work. So you basically put little lots of solder on there and heat it up in an oven, and it just sort of melts down all at once. And it's a way to sometimes repair circuit boards that have gone off. We've got a spiral binder tool for making those comb binders, comb binding. It was a big thing in the late 80s where you'd go to like Kinko's and they'd punch a bunch of holes in some paper and then they put this plastic comb to create like a little spiral notebook. And we've got the kit for that. And we've got welders. There's something that's tucked away that I don't even think about. We have two welders here.
Grinder.
Yeah, and there's my rivet set over there. Rivet setter over there. Yeah, another weapon. There's electric plane. Not a planer, it's an electric hand plane. So it can be used to shave wood down, but it's an electric tool. So it goes very fast. And
never seen that.
It's an interesting tool. I've been told it's very effective. and a circular saw, a couple of circular saws, looks like. And just stuff, you know? All kinds of tools and bits and bobs. And a box labeled weird stuff.
All right, you've been listening to a tour of Eugene Makerspace. Peaceworks. Thanks for listening. Support everybody. We'll be right back. All right, got a special exclusive for you here on Talk is Cheap. Negotiations between Mike Pompeo and Kim Jong-il, exclusively available here at Talk is Cheap on KEPW, captured by the KEPW Kafka cockroach cam. Negotiations between Mike Pompeo and Kim Jong-un. Here you go.
I'm going to blow up the earth.
Yeah, well, you sure picked a nice day for it. Hey, nice looking weepin' you got there. Well, I'll be seeing you around, Shorty. Now, there's a brainy little guy. Probably get ahead in the moon. Pardon me for bothering you, Marconi, but, did you say you was going to blow up the earth?
Oh, yes, I did.
Yeah, that's what I thought you said. Well, adios. One man's meat is another man's poison, I always say. After all, it's his business if he wants to blow up the earth. Whoa! You can't do that. All the people I know are on the earth. The nerve of this character.
Oh, dear. This is most inconvenient. Now I'll have to call out the reserves.
Thank you.
All right, that's it for Talk is Cheap on KPW LP 97.3 FM, Eugene, Oregon, Peaceworks Independent Community Radio, also streaming, that is, on KPW.org. Please support independent media in all its forms before it's too late. Thanks for listening. Tell your friends. And so don't forget that February 5th, the Industrial Workers of the World have a movie night at the McNeil Riley House on 13th and Jefferson. It's Free Angela and All Political Prisoners, a movie about Angela Davis being arrested and a long time ago and her struggle with the FBI on the 10 most wanted list. That's February 5th, 7 p.m., McNeil Riley House. Angela Davis, Free Angela Davis and All Political Prisoners. So check that out. Thanks.
KEPWLP 97.3 FM, Peaceworks Community Radio in Eugene, Oregon, and streaming online at www.kepw.org.
You're listening to KEPW.org, homegrown community radio.
KEPW News Team is inviting your organization to submit local community news, progressive events, meeting announcements, political actions, or legislation relating to your group's work. KEPW News Teams will be broadcasting a regular news show featuring local activists involved in homelessness, the climate, energy, environmentalism, social justice, anti-war,